who has never spoken a message before. This morning, she has something on her heart that she wants to share. And if you don't know her, if you do know her, then what I'm saying is, you know. If you don't, she's pretty quiet by nature and fairly reserved. And really, what you see is what you get. She's beautiful. And it's true. She's prettier on the inside than she is on the outside. She's gorgeous. She's very quiet, very calm, cool, collected, organized. And so for her to say, you know what, I think I should speak to mamas today, it's a big deal. So y'all give my beautiful, wonderful wife, Lisa, a hand as she comes on up. We're going to actually speak together this morning. So,
yeah, I told him for my first time, I'm not getting up here by myself. Like, you are not going anywhere. You're going to sit right beside me and hold my hand. But anyway, happy Mother's Day, moms. You have a wonderful job to do, and it's a privilege and an honor. Just to kind of break the ice with you guys, I'm a mom, obviously. I have four children. And like every mom wants to do, they want to show pictures of their kids to everybody they see and tell them how wonderful their children are and how beautiful they are. But since I'm up here today with a microphone, I get to show you my children. So we're going to put pictures of them on the screen, and I'll introduce you to my children in case you don't know them. That is Christopher, and he is 12 years old, and he is a wonderful child, and he is Todd. So if you know Todd at all, then you know Christopher.
He's smart, good-looking, sharp kid.
Wonderful child. Next
Thank
is
you, clappers.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next is Nicholas. He is. I don't want to say too complimentary things about him because he is me.
You don't want to say complimentary things
no,
about your kid?
No, because if I say he's wonderful and he's smart and he's cute and he's just like me,
if people
then
know
that sounds
us,
arrogant. But
no.
he's wonderful. But his temperament is very much me. He's more quiet like I am. The next one is Aubrey, and she is my only girl. And she is 6, and she's a good mix of the both of us.
Yeah, but she's fiery. Look
she's
at that
very
face.
She's very sweet,
that says,
but very fiery.
Come get close to me and try and touch that boot. Come on.
And our last one is Eric. He is 4, and he likes lizards. So
and
that's
he's
why
a wild man. He's a lot of fun.
So he's a lot of fun. And the last picture is a picture of a typical day in our home. And it really is true. I mean, we have a lot of fun. The kids are crazy and active. And
look at Nicholas. Look at that. That's Lisa. Yep.
Yeah, that's me.
Hair, too.
Okay. But anyway, so we have a lot of fun. That's a typical day in our home. It's a lot of fun. But I can guarantee, as most moms know, that every day is not that. Every day is not fun and crazy and running around having a great time. So I do want to share with you one time that was not so great. It was in 8 years ago whenever we first moved to Lake Charles. We ended up buying, we were looking for an old fixer-upper, but God saw fit to put us in a brand new home, which we didn't expect. So we were really excited about that, or I was. Brand new home, and it was the very first weekend we had moved in, so I had boxes everywhere, was trying to unpack. And so Christopher, our oldest, he was only 3 at the time. Nicholas was 15 months old, and the other two were not in existence yet. And I ended up having to babysit my 2-year-old nephew as well. So the first weekend we're in the home with 3 little children. And so I was busy unpacking, doing my thing, and it was really quiet. And I was like, oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. I kept doing my thing, and it continued to be very quiet. And as all moms know, when it gets quiet, that's not necessarily a good thing when you have toddlers in the house. So I thought I should go check and see what they're doing. So I walked into the bedroom, the brand new bedroom in our brand new house with brand new off-white carpet. And on the floor was a large tub of Crisco. Now, I don't usually use Crisco. I don't know what I had it in the house for, but obviously my child found it wherever it could have been. Yeah, a huge, not the
yeah,
little,
like
not the
gallon
little.
Gallon tub.
It was a
like
big
one of the big ones, like
and,
industrial size.
And the Crisco bucket was empty, and the 3-year-old had taken it and smeared it all over the 15-month-old, and then smeared it all over himself. The 2-year-old smeared it all over himself, and not only that, they were literally laughing with joy, rolling all over the carpet and doing this, you know, because it's slippery. So they were having a ball.
As they took the rest of it and smushed it into the carpet.
It was like, okay. And so at that moment that I saw that, as all moms have a choice, I could have chosen to, ha, 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 they're kids. They're just having fun. It's just carpet. It's not a big deal. And, oh, you sweet little kids, y'all are having a blast. Let's not do this again. Or the other choice I had was I could have freaked out and yelled and cried and scolded them really, really not good at all. So what do y'all think I did? Was I controlled or did I freak out? I did. I really did. I freaked out. I was like, I was like, oh my gosh. I called Todd in there.
You did not say, oh my gosh. I can't repeat what you did say, but you did not say, oh my God. And listen, when the calm person like finally has enough of it and goes off, it's scary.
Yeah. So anyway, so I did. I freaked out. I had to get them off of the carpet. So I grabbed them and very lovingly and sweetly placed them in the bathtub.
I'm pretty sure she threw them head first.
And then I very gently massaged their head with some shampoo as they said,
she was asking for gasoline.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Mom, it hurts. It hurts. And I'm like, if you hadn't taken that Crisco and put it on the carpet, I would not be scrubbing your head this hard right now. So anyway, so that's just a story that it's not always fun. And we know that. So I wanted to talk to you today about a few things that God put on my heart. One of them is that what your responsibility is as a mom. And your responsibility, your only responsibility is what is in the realm of your control. There are many things that we can't control, but there are some things that we can control. One thing we can control is our response to our children when they do something that's not right. And I blew it on that one, as I'm sure we all have. Another thing that you can control is your attitude. And so many times I hear moms, like whenever I was pregnant with Christopher, they would be like, oh, you're having a baby. I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, just wait. Your life's going to change. And I'm like, okay. I figured that it would. But it was always kind of with a negative slant. And then I got pregnant for my second one. And then they were like, oh, you had it easy with one. You just wait till you have two. And then the same thing with third. And then the fourth, they were just like, are you crazy? What are you doing having all these kids?
You do know where kids come from, don't you? What kind of question is that, freak? It's true. It makes me mad. I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby. They're all negative about kids and my kids.
And so many times, like, I was met with moms, like, with just this negative, like, oh, my gosh, I feel, you know, just wait what's coming your way. And so that always grated against me when moms did that, because whenever I had kids, I realized, I mean, yeah, it can be hard, and we can have hard times, and they can stress you out, and they can make you feel like psycho mom, but they are a blessing. They're a blessing from the Lord. In Psalms 127, verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And so moms that tend to bend to the negative and to have a bad attitude about it, just realize that children are a blessing. And if this is your bend, I want to encourage you and share a little bit of perspective with you that whenever I saw this, I was like, okay, this is really good stuff. Your constantly messy house means that you have a place to live. Your dirty dishes means that you have food to eat. All the dirty laundry that you have to wash means that y'all actually have clothes to wear. All the shopping that you have to do means you have money to spend. The toilets that you have to clean means you have indoor plumbing. And for that, I'm thankful. Early mornings, lots of noise, conflicts to settle, snotty noses to wipe, endless questions to answer means you have kids to love. And so if you struggle with having a bad attitude or complaining, just try to get things in a better perspective.
And I'll be honest, I think the temptation is there for all of us to complain, whether it's a mama or a dad, about the situation in which we find ourselves. And even with kids, may we never forget what a joy they are. And I know that you had written one thing, babe, that was, at least for me, when I saw that, I was like, man, that's really good. Because the fact is that, like, on occasion, Lisa's blown it. On occasion, more occasions, I've probably blown it because I get frustrated with the situation that I find myself in regards to my kids. Is anybody that's got kids, y'all know what I'm talking about?
And I will say bedtime is a prime example of when we tend to blow it as moms, because we're exhausted, and you put them to bed, and they come out, I need a TT, I want a glass of water, I want to tell you I love you, and then you're like, just go to bed. So, okay, and so, and all of that, which what he was going to say, but I did interrupt him, you know, is, no, I interrupted him, but I did write it, so I'll say it. that just because you have a bad moment doesn't mean that you're a bad mom. that we all have times that we blow it, that we say things we shouldn't, that we act in a way that we shouldn't, that we would be so embarrassed if anybody ever saw us. But we do blow it, and just because you have a bad moment doesn't equal bad mom. So that was one thing that as moms that we can control. We can control our attitude and our response. Another thing that we can control is our home and the environment in which we create for our family and for our kids. I'm just going to share with you some of the things that, some of the rules and the standards and things that we do in our home. And by no means do I expect that you all should do what we do. You know, God's called us all to do, have different rules and different standards. Hopefully they're all high standards and good rules, but not
within
exactly.
Within the grounds of biblical standards.
Right. You know, so we don't, just because we do it and you hear me say it doesn't mean that you have to go home and do what we do. Although you might hear something that you can learn and think, that might work. We'll try that. So, which is why I'm sharing. We're very, very careful about what we let into our home. And we're very careful about what our kids see and about what our kids hear. I know you've heard Todd say before over and over that we don't have cable. We don't have the internet. We do have a TV, but it is only hooked up to an Xbox and a Wii and a DVD player. So anything that they watch and anything that they play, it's already been approved of. So we're very, very careful about that. Go ahead. Okay. Our kids don't have cell phones, which much to Christopher's dismay, who is 12, who has come home from sixth grade many times this year and said, "Mom, I'm the only kid in my class without a cell phone." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, staying that way, not changing." And then he says,
which I disbelieve, because kids are perpetual liars, just saying.
So maybe they're all just telling him they have cell phones.
Somebody thought that's true, though, isn't it? Do kids lie?
They do.
Every kid, dad, has a cell phone. You're lying to me. I know that they don't.
But he did ask when he could have one, and I told him when he was 18, and he seemed okay with that. He was like, "Okay." So I was like, "Good, I'm glad you're happy with that." Another thing we don't do is we don't really do sleepovers. I say really because they do get to go spend the night at their grandparents' house because we know them very well, and there's been occasion that we've let them spend the night at a very close friend's house that we know the parents very well. To me, you just can't protect them. Like, I've heard so often that say, you shelter your kids too much or you're protecting them too much, and I just really don't think there's a thing as sheltering your kids too much. So,
particularly when the average age of exposure to pornography is 8 years old, and it's almost 80% of kids by the age of 8 have experienced pornography. And then, do I even really need to mention sleepovers? Listen, 5 years ago, when we would tell people, 6 years ago, no, we really don't have TV, they'd be like, oh. But now with the proliferation of smut everywhere and the recognition that kids watch it and then show it and then sexting. Look, 6-7 years ago, sexting was brand new. And now you're talking middle-aged school kids that are doing, yeah. Man, we do our best to control the environment. And look, everybody's environment is a little different, and do what God's called you to do. Just make sure that you understand as moms. And listen, I'm saying this because as dads as well. We are responsible for the environment that we set in our home.
Right. So some things that you can control as a mom, you can control your attitude, you can control your home. And in your home, you also have discipline. There are many times when if you're married, your husband's not home, so you will have to eventually discipline your children. You know, you can't just let, dad doesn't just do all that.
And dad, if you're not disciplining kids and pushing it off on mom, you're doing your children and your wife a huge disservice.
Right. And so, but with discipline, I was thinking when I was doing this, I was thinking, okay, you can control your attitude, you can control your home, you can control your kids. And I started thinking, for the first time ever, I realized that we always hear you can control your kids while they're in your home, but once they leave the home when they're 18 or when they decide to move out, you can't control them anymore. And I started thinking about that, and I'm thinking, you still can't control your kids when they're in your home. And, you know, just the example of the 18-month-old child that touches something and you look at them and say, don't touch that again. And they look at you, and they look at the thing, and they look at you, and then what do? They touch it. So you couldn't control that action, but what you can do as a parent, as a mother, as a father, is you can give them consequences to that action that they just did. And so the goal in disciplining your children when they're young is that they will learn from a young age that whenever they choose foolishly, that there is a consequence to that behavior. Because in your home, you can control what consequence comes to them. It may not be fun for them, but you get to control that. And one day when they're not in your home, what the consequences that they get from the world could be life and death. And as a mama, you can't control those consequences. So the whole goal of disciplining your kids starting from a young age is that it's a very controlled discipline. And when they're out of your home, you no longer have control over the consequences that they're going to receive for that foolish behavior. So.
And so many times the temptation is, and I totally get it, both of us do, is like, nah, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a life and death situation, and you let it slide. And I understand it. I have four kids, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. Listen, we're still in our 30s, but like 40's coming up, and I've got a four-year-old who is the cutest kid ever. I mean, he really is.
You saw his blue eyes up there?
And he knows it, and he uses that to his advantage. So when he gets busted doing something wrong or disobeying, like outright disobedience, like Eric, do this, and he doesn't do it, and then you're like, all right, and now the consequence. Oh, no, please. He's doing daddy. I'm sorry. And those eyes are looking, and they're starting to well up with tears. I'll be honest, the temptation is to be like, okay, you're sorry. That's good. God's just really convicted us in that there has to be consequences for the behavior, regardless of that. We want the heart of repentance, but we also want you to, I'm not telling him this, but we want you to understand that for every action, there's a consequence, good or bad. And like we say, well, it's not a life and death situation. Now it's not. But God's called us to show our children what is right and what is wrong. And part of that is that there's pain associated with wrong. Listen, teach them when they're young. So that when they're old, they recognize that. Because, yes, we get to control the consequences now. But when they're older, no. And so we may say, well, it's not life and death. And I'll be honest, kind of is. And just one thing that I want to share, that's this is also particular to us and controlling what we can in our home in regards to discipline. And it's something that I've said over and over just because I've seen it true, because I experienced it in my life growing up, but also as I've counseled lots and lots of parents as their kids get older and really test, and not just in the testing twos, but we get into teenage years and adolescence and early adulthood. And here's what I've found, and this is just us. It's better to be too hard on your kids than not hard enough. And it's not good to be too hard on your kids. Listen to me. I'm not saying you should be too hard on your kids. No, it's not good to be too hard on your kids, but it is better to be too hard on them than not hard enough. If you're hard on them, too hard on them, it's not good, because they end up thinking that love is something that they have to work for. In other words, it's performance-based. If I don't do this, daddy and mommy don't love me. That's not healthy, is it? Is it? No, of course not. We don't want that. But if you got to bend some way, bend that way, because what will end up happening is they're going to be high achievers in life. And it's not good. I'm not saying that's how you become a high achiever. I'm saying they're going to like work, and they'll have to work that out. It's not healthy, but it's a lot better than there's no consequences and I can do whatever I want. Because sadly, they think that they can do that in a home and then they get out into the world. It doesn't work that way. They get really, really hurt. So I'll often look at Lisa and say, listen, it's better for us to be too hard than not hard enough. Now, I say that not because we're going to drop the hammer and crush them, although sometimes I feel like it, but just a reminder of, like, I know it was a small infraction, but there has to be a consequence.
And that's hard for me sometimes, because I'm like, oh, you're hard too, for me too hard on them. And he's like, you're not hard enough on them. And you go that thing, you know. As mamas, we can control our attitude, and we can control the environment of our home, and along with our husbands, if you're married, you're the discipline of your children. And along with all these things that God has given us the ability to control, there's a whole lot of things that we cannot control, a lot more things that we can't control than we can control. And my bend has been to worry about all of those things that I can't control, to worry about the future. So I wanted to share with you just a few things that I've worried about as a mama, and it may not be the same things that you've worried about, but I bet you'll be able to relate somehow. One of the first things that I worry about raising my children is always thinking, okay, God, am I teaching them enough spiritual things? Am I being spiritual enough? Am I leading them spiritually so that whenever they do leave my house, that they're still going to continue to serve the Lord? And one verse that always comes back to me whenever I think this is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we just can't spend all of our time worrying about the future and worrying when they leave our home. We just need to be diligent to do what we need to do now so that when they do leave, that they won't stray from God's way. Another thing that I've tended to worry about is there something that I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing? As in, being a pastor's wife, there can be a lot of expectations on what I should do, like people saying, why are you at the church more? Why aren't you leading women's Bible study? Why aren't you doing these big things? And why aren't you doing all these other things? And it used to really bother me, and I used to struggle with, but my heart's at home. My heart's with my husband. My heart's with my kids in my home right now. And not that I don't love women, not that I, you know, don't want to be here and be a part, but my main responsibility was being at home and being with my kids and being with my husband. And so it just took a long time for me to realize and to not really be bothered and not be worried about what other people thought I should be doing. So I just had to realize my ministry is my husband, my children, and my home. And if at some point in the future God chooses to use me in another way, then he'll do that. But I just need to be confident that God has called me to do what I'm doing and that it's a privilege, and that's my number one responsibility is to be a great wife, great mom, and homemaker.
And listen, don't let anybody else place expectations on you. The one thing that you said that I really want to bring home is, like, I'm doing what God's called me to do. And all of us, regardless of whether we have kids or don't have kids, whether we're male or female, but particularly today with moms, what has God called you to with your children? And if you don't know, just seek him. Ask him. And then when he says, hey, just love on them. Hey, make sure the environment's okay. Do what you can do. And after that, listen, don't worry what other people think.
And everybody will have an opinion. I promise. They will.
Yeah, I mean, I bet.
They won't hold back.
Yeah, and I bet some people got some in-law stories and some crazy friends stories on you're doing this wrong or the phone calls or the text messages. And you feel like junk. Mom, am I right? Am I right?
Yes.
Don't worry about what other people say.
And there's one quote that I read a few months ago that when I read it, I was just like, it kind of articulated how I had been feeling, but I just wasn't able to put it into words. And when I read this, I was like, it just, a weight lifted. And this is it. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. And so mamas, just relax, raise your babies, have fun with it, enjoy them, and don't listen to outside voices telling you what you should be doing. What you're doing as a mama is incredible. And there's one more thing that I tend to worry about. So am I doing enough spiritual things? Is there a lack, something that I'm not supposed, that I am not doing that I'm supposed to be? And the other thing that I've worried about is everything else under the sun that you could possibly imagine. Most mamas tend to worry about these things, so I'm just going to rattle off a few that I've worried about. I've literally worried about my kids being kidnapped, my kids getting sick and dying. I've worried about school shootings, house fires, terrorism, war, Israel, worry about ISIS, car wrecks, bullying, kids' grades, all of these things that as mamas we can worry about. And so, you know, we have these thoughts that enter our mind, and we start acting out all these crazy things that enter our mind as moms. And so, like, you could be standing over your stove cooking a sweet pot of gumbo or soup for your family, and then all of a sudden this pops in your head, like, oh gosh, what if the house caught on fire? And then you're thinking, okay, well, if the house caught on fire, then maybe I wouldn't be able to save all my kids. And so am I going to save the big ones or am I going to save the little ones? And they're in two different rooms, so I can only go to one room. But if I only had to go to one room, I think I would choose the little kids' room because the big kids at least have a chance of breaking the window on their own. The little ones aren't strong enough. So I'm going to get the little ones first. And then I get the little ones, but by the time I get the little ones, the big ones were stuck in their room and some tragedy happened and I couldn't get them and they couldn't get out and they died. And then I'm planning their funeral and then... I'm at my pot of gumbo. I don't cook gumbo, so I say soup. I'm at my pot of soup, and I'm stirring my soup, literally crying. And my children are in the other room sleeping. And here I am, have created this crazy scenario in my head, and I've let it play out that I'm sitting at their funeral. And so what I would encourage moms to do is what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, which take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And how you take thoughts captive, it takes practice, is that when that thought first enters your mind, I'm cooking my soup, what if there's a fire? I have to, at that moment, stop that thought and say, there's not a fire. There is a fire and it's cooking the soup, but that's it. I mean, there's no big crazy thing happening. So you have to learn to immediately, when the thought pops in your head, immediately get rid of it. And if you have to turn on music, if you have to go read something, if you have to go do something to distract yourself from thinking about it, then do that. And the more often you take those thoughts and you cast them out, the better you'll get at it. So a couple of more verses is Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And so we just always tend to worry about, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? And what about, literally, what about ISIS? And what about terrorism? And what about what's happening in Israel? We have to be informed. We can't be ignorant, but we can't worry about those things either. We just need to worry about today. And also Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. And so often we live in such fear of all of the crazy things that are in our imagination. And God is not in that. It says God is your ever-present help in time of trouble. So if trouble actually arises, God will be there. But don't expect him or get mad at him if you are living a chaotic life and have no peace because of what your imagination is coming up with. So
I'm going to speak to that too, because I see lots of people that deal with that, and maybe some sitting up here that like, what about this? What about that? And don't you worry about that? No, not at all. Like, what if there's a fire? I'll put it out. Like, I'm not worried. What if somebody brings to the house? Like, I'm killing them. I'm not worried about that. But I've seen so many people play out these things in their mind and like, well, God, where are you? Like, what about that? Like, God's got to come and take all this away from me. No. That's not right. God's never going to be in your chaos, your panic, in your fearful imagination. That's why he says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. God, like, you're going to have to deal with these fears. No, God's told you to take what's in your brain, take control of it. Mamas, if you deal with that, and let me just tell you, the vast majority of our church, lots of little kids, and mamas, if you deal with that, take those thoughts captive. Take them captive and realize that God is with you. He's not going to deal with your fears. He's right next to you, and he's saying, I'm right here. Don't worry about it.
Very good. Okay, we're going. The first thing is control what you can. Next, don't worry about what you can't control. And the third thing I really want to stress to you is to enjoy life and enjoy being a mom. I've been reading through Ecclesiastes, and it can seem very, very depressing when you start reading it, because it says all of these things in life that we all know. It says that life can be hard, it can be trying, it's not fair, it passes away quickly. And if you read, I mean, he just says all these things that are just like, kind of like, ooh, it's kind of depressing, isn't it? But Solomon ultimately, he realizes through all of this, and he said so many times throughout Ecclesiastes, that we need to enjoy our life, that we need to eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of our labor. And I'm just going to read a couple of the verses. And this is Solomon speaking. He said, so I concluded that there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And he says that over and over and over. And so my challenge to you moms is, don't live under the dark cloud of how hard it can be to be a mom. Look on the bright side of it and enjoy what a gift and what a blessing it is. Go out there, have fun with your kids, enjoy your kids, because before you know it, they'll be gone. So, that was it.
Come on. Through all of this, this has been our prayer, that mamas with kids at home, that you are encouraged, that you can control what God's given you the responsibility to control, your attitude, your home, the consequences under which your kids live when they're disobedient. And I know I can be very Germanic, and so can she, because I know my name is Schumacher and it's German Jew, so we're very rigid when it comes to discipline and money. And my wife comes from a background of Germanic as well. Her maiden name was Ebers, very, very German. So but God has called us to a realm of responsibility as fathers and mothers, Mamas, thank you for what you do. And if you're sitting here, this I know. You've taken that responsibility seriously. That's why you're here. So don't be so hard on yourself. Enjoy life and enjoy your children, because it goes by like that, doesn't it? It really does. Listen, I'm just telling you, my oldest is 12. I'm like, wait, what? That can't be, because it goes by like that. How many of y'all got grown kids out there? Any people with grown kids? Look at that. Is it true that it goes by quickly? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Listen, do what you can do. Don't worry about what you can't do. And enjoy your life. And enjoy your children and recognize they're a gift from God. And I just want to take a moment. I want to speak to parents, to mamas of grown kids. We got any mamas with grown kids? Good. Here's what I want to tell you. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me just tell you right now, if you're here and you're a mama and you got grown kids, the training isn't over. I've seen a lot of people with grown children just be depressed. Like, I thought I did everything that I could. Like, they're not serving the Lord, and they're far from God, and their life's messed up. Like, I just... And they live in condemnation because they feel like they didn't do a good job. Let me just tell you that God's grace covers everything in the past. And that right now, what you can do, mamas of grown children, is recognize that you are still training them. They may not be little, but they're still your child. Am I right? So train them up. Keep training them. Train them in what love looks like and what a relationship with God looks like. Recognize that they will still look to you as mama, because even old men will say, they're still my small mama. I remember being up in her lap. Let me tell you, I know what that's like, even as a grown man myself. And my mama is still training me. Mamas, if you got grown kids, keep training them. And they're not so old yet that God can't do a work. And for those mamas here, that your kids, they're gone. They've either passed away or they're incarcerated or for some other reason, they're just gone. Recognize that it's not the end. It's just not the end. And that God turns everything around for good to those mamas who are called to his purpose. And your purpose as a mother, even if your child's gone, is to continue to function as a mother. Let me just remind you that there are lots and lots of people who need a spiritual mama. Though there may not be any biological or family connection, that you will end up being a mother to them, because you say, God, I know that this isn't the end. And so, mamas, we just want to encourage you and say thank you. You're doing an awesome job. And don't you live under a cloud of condemnation. Enjoy your family. Don't worry about what you can't control. And what you can't control, just go, Lord, I'm going to do my best. And his grace covers between your best and perfection, because you ain't never going to get perfection. And so, if you're here and you've thought that, we have a video that lets you see things from both a mama's perspective and a kid's perspective. So we'll show that now.
How do I think I do as a mom? It depends on the day.
Life for mom at a Calumet house is usually constant chaos.
Some days the house is like, oh, it looks great today. Some days it's like, ooh, who came through here? did Rita come today?
I am not a good cook. In fact, the first few years of my marriage, my mother-in-law said she was very concerned about the way that I was feeding my family.
I believe that I cook things well. My family might have a different story.
Sometimes, as a mom, I fail at being nurturing. I fail at giving them the affection and the attention and the love that they need.
I really feel like I have a hard time giving my kids what I give to other people.
I, as a mom, feel constantly at the end of the day that I've completely failed and just wasted a whole day.
And sometimes it's like I feel like we get too busy as parents. Trying to, if we're going to keep the house clean, sometimes it feels like that's what runs my life.
They usually get the tired, worn out, exhausted, stressed, cranky, snappy side of me that I wouldn't dare show anybody else.
I'm not saying I'm a bad mom, but...
I actually struggle with that a lot on how I look. It's very difficult because not only am I representing just Tanya, it's my family. So for me, it's difficult. And I wish I could do a better job of it at times.
I think that Mateo thinks that I'm nice, but that I can be a little hard on him sometimes.
Amber, as a mom, needs to be better all around.
Well, we would like to show you what Mateo thinks of you.
Oh, now you're going to make me cry.
Okay.
My mom is very good at keeping the house clean.
My mom is pretty. She's the best mom in the world. She understands me.
I love you, Mom. I know. You love me, too.
Yeah.
I know that God has a good plan for you and me. And, thank you for what you've done in my life.
Her cooks very good food. I like her.
It's really nice and cooperative with. Again, it knows how to talk to people, especially me, and it helps me get out of problems, and she's really cuddly and cozy and helpful to the family.
She introduced me to God and Jesus and taught me about the Bible and made me a better person.
She's very, I don't know, awesome. She's just awesome.
The perception that I have is different from what he has. I mean, I know that he feels like he's loved, but just the different things, like still the fun mom, and I don't feel that way. So it's good to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Just said I was a good house cleaner. That shocked me. That shocked me.
It makes me thankful because, one of the most important things to me is to be a good mom to those kids because they're such a blessing.
All I'm doing is going to work, dishes, dinner, bath, and bed every single day. And so to hear them say that they appreciate those things that I stress about every day really does help. I mean, who doesn't love to be appreciated?
It's amazing how kids love you despite your failings and despite yourself. I love that.
And this makes me feel better because even though I push them so hard and sometimes I think I'm too hard, she thinks I'm awesome. That's great. I'm doing something right.
Mamas, we want to honor you. If you're a mother here, stand up. Y'all stand up. Kids, y'all come in. We just want to give y'all just a token of our appreciation for being awesome moms. Kids, y'all got to run. Come on. And if we've got a gift for you, as you get that, if you could be seated so that our kids can know who needs to get gifts and who doesn't, we'd appreciate it. Moms, thank y'all for what you do. And I want you to recognize that God's grace covers between what you do and perfection, and nobody's ever going to get to perfection. But let me tell you this, because God's grace covers that space, your kids will see you very much in the light of perfection, particularly when compared to how you view yourself. Kids, find mamas, any mama, give it to them. And once you get that rose, go ahead and sit down. Come on, come on. If you see somebody that's standing, kids, run to them and give them a rose. Run, run. Front and middle, right here. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Over on this side, over here. Everybody on this side's got it. I feel like an auctioneer. Everybody in the middle's good. All right, let's go to the side over here. Let's go quickly. Go, 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 go. Come on, run, run, run. Mr. Dennis is going to give $20 to the kid that gives out the most roses. How about that? Or no, there's Pastor Tom. I don't see Dennis. There's Pastor Tom. Right over here. Look at Kara sitting there. Ethan. Yeah, standing right up, right over there. Awesome. Everybody got them? Travis, you're a beautiful mother. Nope. Stop Facebooking. What you talking about? I'm picking. Y'all stand up. Y'all stand up. Let's give these kids a hand. That's my wife's first time ever speaking. How'd she do? She did all right? Good. Y'all be sure to encourage her. She did a great job. And let me just tell you, it is true that she is smarter. She's better looking. There's no arguments with that for sure. And wiser. I'm very, very blessed. And you guys are as well. Man, she has such a heart for being a mom. And whether you've got little kids or your kids are grown, the task may change in practicality, but in reality, you're still a mama and always will be. Let me just say, for those that aren't yet, don't fret about that. Don't worry. God's got plans, and I'm glad that you came this morning. Y'all encourage, ladies? Enjoy your kids. Enjoy life. Don't worry about what you can't control. What you can, just do what you can and trust God through it all and follow Him, and His grace covers the space in between. Prayer partners, you guys can come. Listen, if you need to connect with our church, it's three simple ways. If you need prayer, number one, if you've never experienced the love of God, you think the love of a mother is awesome, and it is, but man, love is originating with God. That's where it came from. If you've never surrendered your life to Him, don't walk out of here with coming up front and saying, I need to surrender all to Jesus. I know He loves me. It's three ways to connect. Number one, with our prayer partners. Number two, fill out a card, the seat back in front of you, drop it in either the box by the doors on the way out or at the coffee bar. Number three, you can find us online at our website, churchoftheking.us. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just pray a blessing over everyone here. Lord, may you bless them as they turn their hearts towards you. Father, may we all have the perspective of peace, knowing that you see all, that, Lord, that we can trust you through all, and it can be well with our soul. And so, Father, I just pray just peace and joy. May we enjoy life. May we enjoy your presence. May we not worry. Lord, may you bless everyone here. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. See y'all soon. Have a great week.